This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back. 7:18 in the morning. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll speak to the economist, Dr. Nongsari Ruddy, on the government's move to move in to tap into the National Trust Fund. But first, let's discuss immigration and labour policy, because as Malaysia strives to recover from the pandemic, immigration and labour policies will be a key lever for the government.
Yeah, so, and this is to ensure that Malaysia has the required human resources for economic growth sectors. So this year, the government introduced new procedures for hiring high-skilled foreign workers in order to prioritise Malaysian talent. So employers looking to hire expatriates using the employment pass must advertise positions in the My Future Jobs portal and conduct interviews with Malaysian candidates where possible. Only if there are no suitable local candidates with the government committee, then will they consider issuing the expatriate employment pass.
Right. The policy appears to be a sound response to address Malaysian unemployment in the wake of the pandemic. But some observers have suggested that this could backfire, as the added bureaucracy could prevent MNCs and foreign investors from choosing Malaysia as their base. So how does this scheme fit into the broader policy framework of foreign labour in Malaysia?
Okay, so for some analysis on this, we speak now to Dr. M. Nias Asadullah, the Southeast Asia lead for the Global Labour Organization. Good morning, Doc. Now, there's actually several different passes in order for expats to work in here, including the employment pass. Overall, how would you assess Malaysia's policy to attract talent to the country?
Thank you for having me, and you're absolutely right. There are at least three categories of employment pass for expats interested in work in Malaysia. It depends on different income bands. And in a way, it does matter for attracting talents. If you think about it, high-skilled workers prefer labor markets that guarantee talent mobility, which means that there is enough opportunity for employees to develop and grow beyond the standard career progression. A flexible employment pass also helps in career mobility. But the reality is quite different in Malaysia. Employment pass issued by the government are often tied to a specific job. And therefore, it's a hindrance when you want to move from one employer to another. But let's not also forget, attracting talents from overseas requires so much more. Consider merit-based competitive pay, respect for equal opportunity, and also international labor standards. So these are areas, you know, where there is still room for improvement so far as the government's policy to attract talents to the country.
And in terms of expatriate employment pass, the government introduced new requirements this year, like we mentioned earlier, in order to prioritise local talent first. Do you think this has had an impact on business hiring activities?
So, first of all, let me put this in the broader context. So, Malaysia is not alone in this. So, Singapore, Malaysia both have for decades benefited from openness to foreign labor. They have attracted, you know, the best foreign talents and have enjoyed a competitive edge over other ASEAN countries. But at the same time, public opposition has grown against foreign labor, and therefore, there's this increased popular pressure for protectionist policy. And I suppose that is the context in which the government has announced this measure to prioritize local talent. But also, let's not forget, back in 2013, Singapore government introduced very similar measures. But again, coming back to your question, the reality for Malaysia is different. We have experienced the steepest decline in FDI within ASEAN countries. And to fully recover from COVID-19, our economy needs more foreign investment and talent, not less. And that's where the challenge is for Malaysia, that in terms of labor compensation, we are far behind other OECD countries. We are not creating enough high-skilled jobs, high-paying jobs. And therefore, the policy measures should really focus on this, not on short-term redistribution of existing opportunities. They can be popular in times of crisis, but they're not quite addressing structural gaps in our labor market. And also, let's not forget that in a globalized world, capital and talent has no nationality or race. If the concern is really about attracting talents, the government should make the economy more competitive, flexible, and meritocratic. Regulating and restricting recruitment decisions of private employers kind of misses the point.
But, you know, I mean, listening to you, you're saying that countries like Singapore already are embarking on this kind of layered, tiered approach to doing things. So relatively to Malaysia, we are quite competitive. So there's really no loss in FDI. So are you saying that what we need to do is relax further these kind of requirements to build back our advantage to drive more FDI then?
So in times of crisis, everyone is stretched and stressed. So this also includes employers. They're trying to sort of cope with uncertainty in cost, uncertainty in demand, trying to cope with supply disruptions. So the government should make it easier for the employer and not less. And let's not forget that employers have better information about the talent and competence of workers. To assume that government knows better is not necessarily right. And again, the decline in FDI in Malaysia is so much larger compared to other ASEAN countries. So it means that the government has to create more room and dynamism in the labor market, not just to mobilize domestic investment, but also to attract foreign investment. So in this context, more restrictions make the market less flexible. And the emphasis should be really on making the market more agile and making it more conducive for employers to recruit the best talents and also to sort of to rebuild their businesses.
So, Doc, how would you assess Malaysia's policy on low-income foreign workers versus highly skilled foreign workers? Is there a coherence to the strategy that you see at play here?
Not really. If you think about it, at this point, Malaysia's aim is to become a developed nation by 2030. We are about to become a high-income nation by 2025. And what is really important is for Malaysia to establish itself as a hub for global talents. And because there is so much to gain from skill bias migration. And that's, by the way, the best way to nurture local talents is to expose them to more foreign talents. And they should not sort of see foreign talents as a substitute for local talents. They are complements. Best brains work best in a collaborative and competitive environment. But unfortunately, in Malaysia, we have the opposite problem. We are attracting way too many unskilled foreign workers instead of skilled professionals. Malaysia is more attractive to low-income foreign workers. And regardless of whether it's foreign or local, many talented workers are frustrated because of lack of merit-based recruitments, lack of fairness in promotion and pay. And for the same reason, high-skilled foreign workers who are already in the country are not staying for long. So overall, I don't see a clear strategy in place to attract and retain the best and the brightest of talents, be it local or foreign.
And yes, I just want to turn to the low-income work permits because the government made an announcement last evening that it was broadening the labour recalibration plan to four subsectors in the service industry, so namely wholesale, retail, restaurants, cargo and cleaning services. I mean, does this indicate that efforts to attract Malaysians to these jobs have failed?
I wouldn't really call it a failure. Rather, I would put it differently. It was necessary, but it was a necessary policy experiment, and which has taught us two things. The first is that employment aspirations of our citizens have changed. Malaysians are looking for better jobs. Employment in cleaning services sector is not really their first choice, even in times of crisis, even at a time when unemployment rate is high. And the second lesson is that migrant workers still remain a key to restarting Malaysian economy, to fully recover from the crisis. By broadening the labor recalibration, our government has only responded to the emerging market evidence. And I see it positively. It's a sign of responsive government. But it would have been avoided if the government listened to employers in the first place. So for the future, I suppose the focus should be on more frank and open dialogues with the employers instead of rushing to popular measures.
Okay, Doc, thanks so much for your time. That was Dr. M. Niaz Asadullah, the Southeast Asia lead for the Global Labour Organization. So, you know, very much similar this. I mean, there's parallels to what he is saying, Dr. Niaz, with Tim Mulholland, in the sense that we should focus more on expansionary strategies and policies rather than try and narrow it because of populism, which I think is entirely in line with what the economists and, the strategists might say is best for the country, because we want to make the pie bigger, not lot smaller.
I mean, the losers will be the business and consumers because they will just not get the talent and the labor and the services they need. I think the governments just take protectionist measures because they look at unemployment rates and they're seeing it inching up and they're worried.
And sometimes it's a popular measure, right?
It's a popular measure.
But I think when you think about employment, you want to have talent mobility. You want people to think that I can get the job I want based on my skills, yep, and I get the right pay for it, which is something we don't get to enjoy in Malaysia. I mean, look at graduate pay, that's extremely, extremely low.
Minimum wage.
Yeah, minimum wage. So at the end of the day, we need to make the economy more competitive and merit-based for us to really go forward. And it's not just only just employment policies that actually make a difference. It's looking at everything holistically.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, skilled expats, you know, like it or not, they come in and they're smart, bright, very educated people. You can learn from them, you know what I mean?
It's knowledge transfer, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's nothing more damaging or spells the death knell for any organization when there's a homogeneity to the organization. You want diversity. Okay, 729, we'll come back after this with Danny Ives of Wedbush on Coinbase, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.